You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
We're in the middle of a series of messages, and these messages are all about, you know, how to deepen that walk and enlarge our opportunities in serving God and receiving all that God has for us, because God does not want to leave us stagnant. Are you here with me this morning? God has something more for you. That is good news. And we need to embrace that. And as Chris spoke 2 weeks ago, in bringing that something else to us and in that keeping us from being stagnant, God calls us out of where we are. He calls you right out where you're at. And he says, come and follow me. Jesus made a habit of asking people to follow him. You know, God is calling us to follow him. Okay? And not only does he call us to follow him, but he also calls us to exercise courage. Because his calling, if it's not your wet your pants kind of courage that it takes to follow him, then it's probably not, he's probably got more in the call for you. Because the call, if you feel like you can do it on your own and on yourself with whatever you think he's calling you to do, it's probably not God calling you. Because when God calls you, he calls you out of yourself. He calls you out of your comfort zone. And then he moves us to this area that we're going to talk about today. You know, you've got the call, you've got the courage, and then there's this area called commitment. And we're moving down this track, this journey. It's really a spiritual formation that God is calling us to live and to walk and to continue. It's a cycle, if you will. And you're going to see that in the next 2 weeks. And this whole thing is a cycle of your spiritual walk and journey with God, right? So with all that said, I want you to know that we are not naive to say that this is not, we're not naive to say that it's not an interruption. This is an interruption. And our prayer this morning is that we are interrupted. You know, we say church interrupt. Do you guys know who the church is? Who's the church? You're the church. Thanks, Lee. You're the church. We're the church. You and I make up the church. We call the church outside the building. The church is not the building. Right on? Right on. I'll just write on myself. Write on myself right through this message, you know? Thank you, Shirley. Right. Right. So I want you to know that my purpose here today is to interrupt you. Man, I'm turning the tables, because usually it's you that interrupts me. Sunday morning. Come on now, I'm just playing. It's not that bad of an interruption. So here's the deal. So the deal is, this week I want to talk to you about the C word. You know, the C word, you know, the C word. Commitment, right? You say commitment with me, with no stuttering. Commitment, right? That's good. You guys are strong, a lot stronger than me. So the commitment. So I want to talk to you about this idea of the commitment. The reason that we do not want to deal with commitment is because more times than not, we don't like the idea of being tied down, right? Commitment ties us down. We don't like, we you know, if anything, many of us, you hear the word fear of commitment, right? Fear of commitment. I didn't get married until I was 32 years old, right? At 32 when I got married. By the way, in March, it's 16 years, you know. They do not call it March Madness for nothing, folks, right? That's college basketball. I'm serious. I would never gotten married in March had I known. It would have been February. In February, it would have been married. Valentine's Day is a lot better than March, because if you're a college basketball fan, it's just the way it is. Your honeymoon is spent watching Final Four, at least it. I thought it was going to be. It wasn't. That's okay. So my point is this. So commitment, right? Commitment. And there's this fear of commitment and wanting to get, you don't want to get tied down. And commitment is an interruption, right? I remember when I got home from college, I was playing, you know, golf, like, and softball 2 and 3 nights a week. It was a beautiful thing, folks. I'm not going to lie. I mean, things, you know, we were running the roads, and it was without limitations. There was no commitments. We were going out to eat every night, you know. Like, things were just a lot of fun, you know. I mean, we're running the roads and keeping them hot. And I go on trips whenever I wanted to. I just go on a trip. I go a golf trip or, you know, go to the Lake Cumberland. There's no, you know, just the way it worked. And then I got married, you know. And when I got married, and things changed for her too, by the way. You know, when we got married, things changed forever. And so I had two best men at my wedding. One was my buddy Sean Lackens, No Neck Lackens, right? Sean. And then my other buddy was Chris Jackson, still my buddy. He was my best man at my wedding, and I was his best man as well. Pastor Chris, he's here. Raise your hand. You love Chris, don't you? I do. So what happened? And when we had the reception, Chris, dear brother Chris, comes in, right? And he comes in with a bowling ball, and on that bowling ball is painted white, and on the bowling ball, he had a chain bolted into the bowling ball. Now, do you guys know what that means? Ball and what? Chain, right? So he was trying to imply something here, right? That I was getting married and that Beth was a ball and chain. That's not what he was saying, but my mother-in-law didn't like it that much. I'm just telling you, being straightforward, Jackson, you did not set up yourself very well with her. She's since forgiven you 16 years later, but the ball and chain, right? Right? So a lot of times what we think about in terms of commitment, right, is a ball and chain. Okay, so I say all that to say that, you know, commitment, we think of ball and chain, or we think how it can cramp your style. And let me just set the record straight. Beth is not, and Chris would agree, Beth is the best thing that ever happened to me. You can give Beth a big hand, would you? We need to do that. Right. It's all good fun. My wife's got a wonderful sense of humor when it's you guys making that humor, not me, right? So I'm just trying to tie in as well. But the truth is that she is wonderful, and man, 16 years. And you know, here's the other thing. When you have a kid, there's additional commitment. Then you have another kid, there's an additional commitment. I don't want to steal my thunder here with a message and get too far ahead, but you have, you know, then you adopt, and then you start seeing the more commitments that we make, the fuller life is, folks. It's a beautiful thing. But you never reach that fullness of life without commitment. And the lie that we all believe and the problem that we have is that commitment is something that ties us down or weights us down. That commitment is this interruption in our life that keeps us from getting where we want to go. And truthfully, many of us come in here even this morning with a heaviness and with a struggle. You come in here this morning and life is overwhelming to you with what you're dealing with and what you're going through. And then a minister gets up and starts sharing this message on commitment. And you think, man, I cannot be weighted down anymore. I can barely get through what I'm dealing with right now. That's exactly the way I believe Abraham felt in Genesis chapter 15. God had called him out. He called him out. God had revealed himself to him, and there was a period of time when Abraham was following God that it required a whole lot of courage, and we talked about that last week. God called him out of his comfort zone, and there was an area there that he had to experience, or he had to receive the love of God that gave him courage and strength to overcome these present challenges. And then we get to a point where God is leading him to deepen his commitment. And they have a very honest exchange, much like the exchange that you probably need to have with the Lord this morning. Genesis 15, 1 through 3. Here's what it says. It says, sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abraham in a vision and said to him, do not be afraid, Abraham, for I will protect you and your reward will be great, period. I think that we kind of need to settle in on that this morning. Because if you like first service and if you like with stuff and struggles that I deal with, if you're in here this morning and you are experiencing struggle or chaos, or you're experiencing a lack thereof, or a need, or you there's just something in your life that is out of your control, right? And you are struggling with that. I think that you need to hear God this morning. You need to hear what God said to Abraham, because what God said to Abraham, God is saying to you this morning. Do not be afraid, for I will protect you, and your reward will be great. Right on, Ryan. Right? You see, before we can even wrap our heads around what else God has for us, and what else God wants to reveal to us, and what else God is calling us to, and before we can wrap our heads around the kind of agreements that God wants to form with us, God wants us to hear Him speak His word of truth over you and I. And when you quiet yourself in your 15-minute protocol, or you quiet yourself when you meet with Terry and you go through prayer ministry, or when you quiet yourself and you're in your life group, or you've got people around you that's praying, when you quiet yourself and you hear the word of the Lord come to you, it is always a message of peace, not chaos. It's always a message of hope. It's always a message of tranquility. It's a message of just, I've got this, man. I've got this all under control. I've got this. And you hear that word and you settle in then in that word, and you can begin to move forward with whatever God wants to reveal to you. Is that not true? It is true. So many of us are so wrapped up in our confusion. And it's not necessarily even stuff that we've done wrong. We're innocent of the confusion. But the truth is that the environment that we're in and the enemy working against us has got us all jacked up, right? We cannot emotionally take anything else in without coming to that point where the Lord speaks to us and He reveals something to us like this. Do not be afraid, Terry. Do not be afraid, Justine. Do not be afraid, Chris or Lee or anyone else in this church service this morning. Do not be afraid, for I will protect you, and your reward will be great. Now, when the Lord begins to speak something like that to you, you are able then to exhale. And you're able then to open yourself up to what else God has. And what's cool about being in a relationship with God, and what's cool about going to Him in prayer ministry, or what's cool about going to Him, you know, in our struggle, right? What's cool is that it's not a one-way communication, folks. My relationship with Beth is not a one-way communication. Now, I could get funny with you, but it's not. My relationship with my wife, my relationship with God, right? It's God wants and desires us to express to Him how we feel and to listen to Him with what He wants us to know. And so Abraham took advantage, full advantage, and Abraham responds. Abram, which was later Abraham, he replied, O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Now keep in mind, Abraham is as much in need of truth as you and I, because that's laced with limiting beliefs and lie-based thinking. Limiting beliefs and lie-based thinking. It's laced with that, right? And we could pick that apart some other time or in your life groups. But, oh, sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth. Now, it's not that he didn't like his servant in his household, but what he's dealing with here is the idea that you have given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir. Folks, understand this. If you have ever wanted to have a kid and not had a kid, tell me, how much does that, right? How much does that work on your head, work in your head, right? I mean, if you are a couple and you're married and your desire is to have a kid and you can't have kids, folks, it is debilitating. And Abram and Sarah were dealing with this. It was out of their control. This was working emotionally. It was impacting their relationship with God. This was something that was a huge deal for them. And what we see through all of this is Abraham taking his burden and casting his cares upon the Lord, taking full advantage of that relationship, that two-way communication that God wants to have with you and I. And here's the deal. The deal is that we cannot move through our spiritual formation, and we cannot move to deeper relationship, deeper commitments, and seeing God move in deeper ways in our life until we are able to get the truth that God wants us to get. Do you hear what I'm saying, folks? Man, okay, look at 4. Then the Lord said to him, verse 4, "No, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir." Verse 5, "Then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, 'Look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how my descendants, that's how many descendants that you will have.'" Folks, here's the truth. The truth is that God will always speak a word of truth and meet you right where you're at. My prayer was here today, was as I'm sharing this message about quote-unquote commitment, that God would help us somehow be able, that he would help us be able to connect the message right where you're at. If I come up here and start sharing about deepening your commitment with God, right, without understanding where we are, And my understanding of where we are is that we are just like Abraham. We are messed up people. We are people in need of God's truth. And we need God to expand our mind, and we need God to remove our limiting beliefs. And that's exactly what he did for Abraham. He took Abraham outside. He said, "Come here, Abraham. I want you to walk outside. Walk outside, and I want you to look up, and I want you to count the stars in the skies. That's how many of your heirs you are going to have. You are going to be blessed beyond measure," right? And here's the deal, folks. This morning, find hope in this, in that you and I, in our struggle, it is nothing more than a vapor in light of God's eternity. Are you here with me this morning? And I'm talking death, I'm talking loss, I'm talking relationships, brokenness, I'm talking whatever it is that you are dealing with in God's eyes. And I'm not minimizing the pain and struggle you're going through. That's not what this is about. I'm talking about on earth, what we deal with. It is nothing more than a vapor in light of what God sees and what God can do in and through you in bringing you to that next level with him. Are you here with me today? Man, right on, Ryan. You know, not, and I don't mean that in a braggadocio. It's not, hear the spirit in which I'm trying to communicate, because we so sucked in to our current struggle that we can't get outside to look up at what God wants us to see, because what he sees is a life without limits. What he sees is healing and peace and prosperity and abundance. What he sees is his blessing for you. And what the enemy tries to do is keep us in a box and limit our vision, folks. For many of us, you know, we've been hurt. And when we talk about commitments, or, you know, we think of commitments that's been broken. Maybe commitments that's been broken between you and your father. Maybe it's commitments that's been broken between you and a spouse. And the biggest reason that we run or avoid commitment is because of what's happened to us in the past. That very well may be true. So I want to give a qualifier here. You can go all throughout Scripture and whether you believe Scripture to be the inspired Word of God or you do not believe Scripture to be the inspired Word of God. By the way, you have a choice. Did you know that? God gives each one of us a choice, right? It's a beautiful thing. A choice to believe, a choice not to believe. And He loves us that much that He gives us a choice. And I say this because I want you to understand what I've come to know and what I've come to experience. And in Psalms, it's like 146, 145, 146, 147, you hear about His promises. And this is one little, I mean, you go throughout all Scripture. God does not break His promises, right? His promises. The Lord always keeps His promises. He keeps every promise forever. The Lord will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God's promises and faithfulness endure forever. So when we talk about commitment, let me just say to you right now that God never breaks His commitment. Matter of fact, He has already made a commitment for you and I. God's presenting all this to Abraham. And here's what it says in verse 6. Beautiful. Verse 6. And Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. In the King James, it says, and the Lord counted. Man, come on, help me, Lord. The Lord counted his faith unto him as righteousness, something like that, right? But basically, folks, righteousness, being right with God, finding peace with God, right, is not based upon what you do. It's not based on how hard you work. It's not based on how many hours you volunteer or how much you give. It's simply believing in Him. A relationship with God, it's about believing in Him. And when you believe in Him, that is faith that can be counted unto Him as righteousness. Look at Romans 10, 8 through 13. In fact, it says, the message is very close at hand. What is this message? The message is God's commitment to you and I. God made a commitment to you and I. And the commitment that He made was that God sent His Son, His only begotten Son, right? And in sending His Son, or God gave His Son, right? He gave His Son so that we might have life, right? Basically, Jesus on the cross, God gave His Son, and that Son is the message, right? And that is the commitment of God. Look at this. It says, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart. And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. If you openly declare Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. And then it goes on, it says, basically anyone, Jew and Gentile, anyone, this goes for all of us, are the same in this respect. They have made the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, what? Will be what? Saved. Every time I read that, I'm thinking in light of eternity. In light of eternity, God, I know I'm going to be saved. I've accepted You. I've asked You to come into my heart and my life. I've repented of my sins. I believe in You, Father. And now my eternity, right, is secure with You. You follow what I'm saying this morning? I want to take that a step further. There's a step further in this. Not only are you saved, right? Saved and you get to spend eternity with God, but you are saved from your current everyday struggle that you're dealing with right now. Are you here with me today? You hear and understand what that means, right? Listen to this. This is not just the hereafter. God wants us to know, just as He saved Abraham, He's going to save you, saving you from your current struggle. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. What does all this mean? This means this. It means that God is supreme. God is the God of gods. God is the Creator of the heavens and the earth, and God is in full control of your situation. Do you understand what I mean? God understands and he sees what you're dealing with, and God can make right what the enemy meant for wrong. Today, I encourage you to call on the Lord. To call on the Lord. Declare Jesus as Lord, right? If you openly declare and you, look, belief is a choice, right? You could choose to believe God or you could choose not to believe God. You could choose to believe what this old boy's saying or you could choose not to believe what this old boy's saying, right? God is giving you that choice. But I'm telling you, when you take him up on that choice and you believe in him, he will raise you from the dead. And he'll save you from whatever it is that is your ball and chain. Whatever it is that's dragging you down, he will save you and he will deliver you and he will help you. Look, folks, this is his commitment to Peg and Ray. His commitment to Peggy and Ray is that he will not leave them nor forsake them. Do you hear what I'm saying, folks? When God calls, God has extended his agreement to us. And in doing so, he raises us up. He gives us the opportunity. He raises us up. He speaks truth into us. He frees us from whatever our current struggle is. And then he gives us another opportunity to deepen our commitment with him. And when you take advantage of God and you take advantage of these commitments and you continue to make commitments with God, God continues to relieve you and he continues to show you more about him. He continues to reveal this whole space and these new opportunities that you have never dreamed of. Do you think Abraham dreamed that he would ever have, descendants as many as the stars in the sky? He was what, 80, 70, Chris, how old at that time? He's probably 75 to 80 years old, maybe 90 years old, right? And Sarah was probably in, she was over 70 in this time, right? They had no idea, folks, right? And for God to speak that to them, it was but by, only by the Lord. And so Abraham in verse 15 or chapter 15, verse 17, the sun went down and darkness fell. Abraham saw a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch. He basically made a cut a covenant with God, right? He cut a covenant with God, entered into this covenant, this sacrifice, and this covenant with this animal, and he passed between, and it was what they had to do then, and it's all Old Testament stuff, but it's what they had to do. We have it easy now, folks. Jesus is our covenant, right? Jesus is the commitment that God has extended to you and I, and all we have to do is come into agreement with that and believe that by faith. Abraham, this is all he knew to do, and God blessed him for it. And in verse 18, so the Lord made a covenant with Abram that day and said, I have given this land to your descendants all the way from the border. And basically the provision for him was made and the limiting beliefs were removed. And Abraham entered into a newfound faith and a newfound spiritual awakening, if you will. I believe God wants to do that with you and I. And he so desperately wants to interrupt you right now and interrupt whatever it is that you're going through, whatever challenges you face. He wants to interrupt you and he wants you to surrender to him. He wants you to believe him. He wants you to accept what he's done for you and trust that he has whatever it is you're going through under his providential care and control. So here is a question. What if God's interruption in your life, right in the middle of your biggest struggle, right now, whatever your biggest need is, whatever your biggest struggle, what if it was not meant to be a ball and chain, But what if it was meant to heal you and set you free, to answer your prayers? See, I believe this. I believe that when you deepen those commitments with God, God gives you a newfound sense of freedom and peace and hope and joy and abundance. This is kind of heavy stuff. This is like deep relationship stuff. This is the kind of stuff that changes the world, changes the trajectory of your life, changes the trajectory and the inheritance or the generational whatever in your generational blessing or curses in your family. This stuff, the decisions that you and I make when we allow God to interrupt our lives, it changes things forever. Here's the final way of thinking of it as we wrap this thing up. Many of you are trying to work through this stuff and work through your struggle on your own. And Preacher Boy Ryan's up here sharing about commitment, and he's talking about deepening your walk with God, and he's talking about strengthening your commitments and commitment, and right where you're at, it's tough, man. You've been working through this, and you're trying to struggle through whatever it is that you're going through, and this just may seem a little overwhelming to you. Here, let me read this to you. This is just a way to maybe look at it. The difference between avoidance and commitment. Let's think about this. Imagine building a new house and everything is perfectly designed and it's constructed, except that you forgot to install the electricity. Now that sounds like something I do, right? And you move into the house and something seems not quite right, so you keep adding to what exists. You call the landscapers. The landscapers come out. They're re-landscaping the yard. You call the stager and the designer, and they come out and they restage the house and they put furniture and place furniture in certain areas. And you redo the kitchen and the master bath and you tile everything and you're working through it. You're just trying to figure it out. You're trying to do whatever you can, but deep down inside you just know that something is not quite right. There's always something missing. And as time goes on, it's more and more the same. There is no energy or power to make the house livable. That's where we're at. That's where we are when we don't make commitments with God. That commitment is what raises us up. It's what gives us recovery and freedom and hope and faith and abundant life. That's what God wants. That's what God wants. That's what God wants for you and I. And so I make no apologies this morning. I hope to goodness that this was a major interruption in someone's life here this morning. Because praise God, but by there not being an interruption in my life, I wouldn't be here this morning. You understand what I'm saying? God wants to interrupt you. That's what his prevenient grace is all about. His grace that goes before. And it's not like he's screaming in your face. It's gentle. It's a gentle nudge, a gentle touch. You know something needs to be done. You know that there's something there that God's calling you to. Maybe it's something in your life that's not quite right with him. Let's all stand. Father God, if that's true this morning, I just pray that you would reveal it to those that are here. Father, this morning, interrupt us. Interrupt us right where we're at. Reveal to us. God, I hear that. I see that. I know, Father, what you're speaking of this morning. It's not right in me. And I ask, God, that you would forgive me and set me free. And I make a commitment to you this morning to deliver me from that and find a way around that and through that. Lord, I pray that, Lord, this morning. Thank you, God, for the peace that you gave me, Lord. The peace that you gave me in speaking to me again, Lord, even as early as this morning, Lord, in first service, speaking to me, telling me that it was going to be all right and that you have everything under your providential care and control. and then I can move forward in my commitments with you. I can press forward in my relationship with you. Thank you for the peace that you've given me this morning. And all across this little room this morning, I pray that you will speak to each and every person that's here. And first, I think we need to analyze where we are with God. I think some of us have been struggling through our confusion on our own. And we know that we have not made a decision to follow Christ. And what we've done is we've avoided it. We've avoided that relationship with Christ, that relationship with Jesus that he wants to have with you and I. We've avoided it, and we have no power in our lives. And I believe that you, that God's calling you to make that right now. To call upon him. And that commitment is so simple. God has made it so simple for us by just believing in him. Believing in him. If that's you this morning and you know you're not right with God and you want to make peace with God and you want to have an agreement, you want to make a commitment to him that you will choose to believe him, then just pray with me right where you're at. Father, forgive me for how I failed you and the confusion and chaos that I've caused. Can you pray that? Forgive me. If this is you this morning, forgive me for the chaos and confusion that I've caused. Forgive me for falling short. And Lord, this morning, I just declare you as my Lord. And I believe in you, Father, that you sent your son Jesus so that I might have life. And that I could be saved. Not just for eternity, folks, but in your current struggle. Now, some of us here this morning have been walking with the Lord. You followed God's call. You've exercised courage and you know what? You've even taken on some commitments. But right now, the confusion and chaos that surrounds you, you have lost your peace and you've lost hope. And you are frustrated, and you know in your spirit you're not right. You know that things are just like a ball and chain. They're weighing you down. And this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to let that go, to cut that off. And so, Lord, I just pray in the name of Jesus that you will cut that off. Just say it, Lord. Say, Lord, cut this off. Cut this off in Jesus' name and free me up in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And Lord, may every person here, before they leave here, may they commit to you in some form or fashion. Just commit to you. Commit to being who you've called us to be. Maybe it's being kinder. Maybe it's being a better reflection of who you are. Maybe it's being or demonstrating the grace that you have demonstrated to us by sending your son Jesus to die for us. So Lord, bless this church, and Lord, help this church to always be willing to be interrupted. Thank you, God, for calling us out. Thank you, God, for giving us courage. And God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will help us to take on big commitments in serving you and being who you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.